Hello and welcome back to the Finding Your Feet podcast, a podcast show dedicated to helping you get closer to your true authentic self by helping you find your feet in life.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Today we are joined by Sarah Grinberg, and she is a huge podcaster from Australia. She runs the Life of Greatness podcast, which some of you have probably heard of, probably are big fans of, as are me and Abby. She's interviewed some of the biggest names in the self-development world, the ones right at the top, the spiritual leaders where you're like, oh my God, Joe Dispenza, Gabby Bernstein, Simon Sinek, Wayne Dyer's daughter, Serena, Marianne Williamson, Mo Gowder.
Just so many legends, basically.
Yeah, literally incredible. And she herself has gone on an amazing journey and she's very, very spiritual. So we have a lot of interesting conversations about like spirituality, like some really interesting stories that really help you realize like the power of your mind and your thoughts. So I hope you get inspired by this conversation with Sarah. We were very inspired by speaking to her, and make sure that you do go and check out her podcast afterwards and binge listen to all the episodes because they're incredible. Some of them have literally been life-changing. Like I loved the episode she did with Marianne Williamson, and we talk a little bit about that in this chat, but we will link her podcast and everything in the show notes so you can go and find her and find where to listen to her. But I hope you enjoy this conversation.
Yeah, I hope you all really take away a lot from it, because you can really tell she has taken everything in from all those absolute legends and she implements it into her life, and then also gives really good advice in like a really calming and comforting way.
Yeah.
Like I felt really uplifted after this conversation. So I really hope you all feel the same.
Yeah. She wants to help you live a life of greatness.
Yeah.
So that is what this episode is all about. But before we jump into the conversation with Sarah, we've just got a quick word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. They are a professional, secure online counselling service. They are not a crisis line. They are literally therapy done online from the comfort of your own home. So wherever you're listening to this episode right now, wherever you are in the world, maybe you're in Australia, if you know. That's where Sarah's from. Maybe you're over there listening. You can access BetterHelp services and you can start your therapy journey within just 2 days of signing up for an account with them.
Yes, so if you're at the point where you feel like you want to reach out for online therapy, it's very simple to set up. You can just go onto their website, you fill in a questionnaire so they can get a better idea of what you want from the therapist. And then like Grace said, they will set you up with a therapist in just 2 days, which is record time. And even if you are matched with a therapist and you think, I don't quite feel comfortable with therapists, or I want someone that specializes in something else, perhaps you can actually change for free until you're happy with the right therapist for you.
So if your personal growth and self-development has been one of your goals to step up and level up your personal growth in 2022, therapy is a great way to do that. You learn so much about yourself. It really helps you process your emotions and move forward in life, be more confident and step forward into a life of greatness. So if that feels like you and you're ready to take the steps, we have a discount for you. You get 10% off your entire first month of online therapy with BetterHelp. You might only need a month. Sometimes like you only need like 4 sessions of therapy and that's enough, you know. So if you feel like that's you and you're ready to take the leap, just head to the link betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. That's betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. We've left the link in the show notes. Just click through there, fill out a really quick questionnaire, take you about 5 minutes, and then within 48 hours you'll be matched with a therapist. You can set up your appointment and you can start your therapy journey from the comfort of your own home with your 10% discount. So it's a lot more affordable. It'll probably cost you about £160 for the whole month, and as far as therapy goes, that is a good price. You can be paying £160 a session, so that's for 4 sessions, as well as all the webinars that BetterHelp put on for people, and how you can message your therapist outside of the session as well and talk to them. So there's so many benefits. And if you feel like, do you know what? I'm ready to take that step. I'm sick of asking my friends for advice. I need one-on-one attention to help me process things and move forward. Then therapy is the right thing for you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't underestimate the power of therapy. Once you make that investment, like, your life will just change. It really will. So that's why we're really proud to be sponsored by BetterHelp.
But that's all for now. Let's get into the chat with Sarah.
Okay, so I'd just like to welcome Sarah Grinberg onto our podcast. Thank you so, so much for agreeing to come and chat with us. You are a huge inspiration of ours, as you have one of the biggest podcasts in Australia, and it has some of the most incredible guests. We've loved every single episode, so it really is an honour to have you on our show today. But if you could please start by just telling our listeners a little bit about Sarah and what it is you do for work, and like how your journey developed to where you are now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a It's great to be here with the two of you today. So my journey in podcasting started about 4 years. It's been actually 4 years in December, and I work at a podcast provider called Listener, and they produce a lot of the big podcasts in Australia, but they're also part of a big radio station that I have worked at for the last 11 years. So my journey into podcasting firstly began in radio, and I was a radio producer for many years. And then from there, I moved into podcasting 4 years ago and produced some of the biggest podcasts in Australia. Came up with the idea for A Life of Greatness when I started to get into self-development work, and it just took off. I mean, I learned a lot about manifesting and the mind-body connection and all these other wonderful things. And when I started learning about that, I think I almost probably manifested doing this podcast without intentionally manifesting it, if you know what I mean. And I, you know what, I knew from the very beginning that it was going to do well. There was not one part of me that didn't think that. And it has done really well, and it is a labor of love for me. I enjoy every single interview I go into. I learn so much, as well as being able to then obviously share that information with the people that listen, my community. So it's just been an incredible experience.
Yeah, I want to hear some more about your journey of work, because we listened to one of your episodes where you were explaining about how like you got into personal development space, and how you very once you stuck your head into reading all the books and things like that, you very quickly transformed how you felt about life and how you experienced life. So I'd love to hear some more about your journey in that sense. And I know you had there was something that happened at work where you end up losing one of your jobs, and it was like as if everything was kind of falling apart. But it was actually falling apart for so something so much better to come into your world, which I think we all experience that when you feel like everything is literally falling apart, but actually you can't see at the time, but it ends up being like for the best, and you can never connect the dots looking forward, only looking back. And I think you've got a really lovely story that's like a really good example of that in action. So I'd love to hear some more about your journey in that way.
So basically, I was a radio producer for many years, and I got the job as being a producer for a big breakfast show. And the breakfast show is the creme de la creme of radio shows. To be breakfast is like the key slot. And so I was producing that, and the hours were grueling, like, you know, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be at work by, you know, 4:35 a.m., something like that. At the time, I had two very little kids. One was 2 and 1 was 4, and you know, I was going to bed at the same time as they were going to bed, and then waking up before obviously they woke up. And you know, it's 5 days a week, it's a big load. And it was, you know, come winter time in Melbourne, it's probably not dissimilar to where you guys are, it's freezing cold. So you're getting up and it's dark and it's cold, and you know, the conditions were no good, and there was a lot of things going on actually at that time within that show that just were not great for the self-esteem. It wasn't a good environment to work in. A lot of my colleagues were suffering a lot as well, and I was complaining a lot to people around me, like, this job is no good, and I don't want to be here, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, when you do that, or you may have friends that do that, but they kind of do nothing about it. And so I was kind of complaining the whole time, and I wasn't doing anything about it. And then I remember I had the flu, and I was home a couple of days from work. And it was in that moment of absolute deep, deep despair, I remember tears rolling down my eyes, where I thought to myself, I've literally hit rock bottom. Like, I honestly need to do something about this, because I can't go on living like this. It's mundane, it's depressing, and there was a part of me that knew that there must be more to life than this. Like, how could we come onto this earth and this be it? I mean, I don't believe that. I mean, the Buddha says a life has suffering in it, but you know, it also has joy in it as well. So it was in that moment where I thought, okay, the only person that can help me is me. I need to do something about it. So I was in touch with a friend recommended a man who was a really kind of a spiritual person, and I did some self-development work with him. He was an amazing guide, or is an amazing guide. And I then also threw myself into self-development books, and I got into meditation and learning about the mind-body connection, as well as all these other bits and pieces that make up self-development. And it was the first time where I took it really seriously. Like, I hadn't dabbled in self-development work before, but I had done a lot of meditation, and it was kind of very wishy-washy, like body scans and things like that. And I remember thinking, I'll do it because I know it's good for you, but nothing is like working for me. But then I found meditations that were really working for me, and I studied them properly, and I got really into it. And in a very short period of time, I saw my life slowly changing, and I learned a lot about the law of attraction, and I started to put that into work. And I thought, you know what? I am just going to try everything, because, I mean, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but I'm not going to lose anything. And I remember doing everything that it said, and then listening to affirmations on the way to work. I mean, I don't know how much that did, but I remember clearly driving into work at 4:30 a.m. with my own voice, listening to affirmations. I am this, I am that. And I remember getting to work one day, and the boss said to me, one of the bosses is like, oh, I want to meet you. Like, can we meet after the show? And I'm like, sure. And then he basically told me, like, my role, because it was a Sydney breakfast show, my role was needing to move to Sydney. Clearly I wasn't going to move to Sydney. I lived in Melbourne. I had young kids. My life is in Melbourne. And I'm thinking, how is this happening? I'm doing all this work, and like next minute I lose my job. But mind you, this is a job that I hated, but at the same time, I didn't want to have like no job. So I was like, oh my God, like I've kind of got no job. This is bizarre. And thinking, okay, like I've worked at this company for so long and all this stuff. Anyway, I remember one night lying in bed and just looking up and praying. And I wasn't by any means a religious person, but I looked up and I didn't even know who I was praying to. And I basically said, you know, please help me. I really love where I work, but I want to work with nice people. I actually think I said the prayer before I got made redundant. So this was just before I got made redundant. I said this prayer. I said, please. I don't know if it was a prayer, but I was talking to a higher source, and please, can you help me? I want to work part-time. I was like, really gave all these things that I wanted. Not that I'm saying you should pray like this by any means. And I want to work part-time. I want to work with nice people, but people who are really successful in what they can do, so I can learn from them. And I want to be happy in what I do. I want to give back to the community, and I want to feel like I've got a sense of purpose. And that's all I said. I clearly remember that. And like I said, I didn't pray often. I didn't talk to a higher, you know, the divine or whatever. I did believe in it, but I didn't kind of communicate with it often. So I remember thinking at the time, and it was like the boy who cried wolf. Like, I would save my prayers for some like big events, like only if I really, really needed something. So at the time I really needed that. And then, as I said, a couple of days later, I got made redundant, and I'm thinking, this is not what I asked for. What is going on? This is like, Jesus, like, what am I going to do? And then, cut a long story short, basically the general manager of the company basically came to me and said, you know, we want to keep you. There's a podcast arm of the business that's just started up. We'd love you to move into that. And I remember thinking, like, I'd never even listened to a podcast. Okay. That sounds fine to me. I'll do that. And I mean, it was a job, so that was good, staying at the company I wanted. And I was like, I want to go down to 4 days a week. And he was like, you know, these Australia's biggest celebrities were moving from radio next year into podcasting. He's like, I'd love you to look after those guys. And I'm thinking, oh my God, like that's an honor. Like how amazing is that? And then at the time I said, I want to look after the True Crime podcast. And they said, that's absolutely fine. So I ended up the next year moving into this role, which was, you know, part-time, working with these the nicest celebrities you've ever worked for, working at the same place that I was at, which I had asked for. And then within 6 months, I came up with the idea of a life of greatness. And my boss was like, yeah, just, you know, put a plan together and see how it goes. And it ended up doing so wonderfully. And here I am today. So it was an absolutely amazing journey. And you know what, ladies, I was thinking, this works. Like I have prayed and my prayers have been answered. I have done all the work that I've learned with the law of attraction and it's come to me. I need to teach other people about this because I mean, how did I not know about this before? Like it absolutely works. And that was the perfect example of that. And to your point, sometimes when we're in the thick of things and everything's what we assume is going so badly, it's actually not. It's all happening for a greater purpose. And when I got made redundant, I was thinking, oh my God, I can't believe this. I have put my heart and soul into this radio show. I've got treated like crap. And now I've lost my job. Like, how is this fair? And I've gotten into self-development work and I'm doing all the stuff they're saying. Well, like, how am I in this situation? But really a couple of weeks later, the shift began and it happened so fast. And now in my life, I see that happen a lot. And still, when I'm in those times where I feel like I'm in the thick of it and I can't see out, I have the hope and knowing that the universe is working for you and it's never there to do harm or bad. And if your intentions are in a good place, then you're going to see the fruits of that labor.
Yeah, I love that so much. Such a beautiful story. I would love to know, when you led there on that night and you said that prayer and you wasn't quite sure who you were speaking to, after that, you know, everything like developed and you really started believing in the law of attraction and your life transformed. And you can really see that in your podcast, how like your story infiltrates into all the episodes. So it was so obvious it had to happen. But from that point, did your relationship with like praying or with the divine start to develop and change? Like how do you kind of work with that in your life now?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. So basically it became a lot deeper. And as much as, you know, the more work I got into, the more mystical experiences I had, the more I realized that this was true and that my belief is that, you know, A Course in Miracles says that we don't walk on this path alone. There's always, we're never alone. There is always someone walking with us. And when they mean that, is it spirit guides or guardian angels or whatever it is. But I truly do believe that. And, you know, I pray every morning, I say a prayer of thanks and I always believe that we are being guided and that our loved ones who have passed are there to help us as well. And I feel that fills me with the knowing that everything is always going to be okay. And when I'm in situations where I feel that something's happened or it's rattled me or it's, you know, there's moments of grief, be it a loved one or a loss of a job or whatever, I know that it's all part of my journey. And I think when you do know that, then it gives you a lot of faith in life in general. And I think just having faith in being here and what we're here to do and our journeys and knowing that we're always being divinely guided makes your life a lot more fulfilling.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned there A Course in Miracles and we've recently like become aware of A Course in Miracles because we both read A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. And like we've read a lot of books, but that book really, really changed something in us. Like the whole idea of like coming back to love in all these different parts of your life and how we are always being guided and just seeing spirituality in the way how like that Marianne sort of speaks about things. And we loved the episode that you did with her on your podcast that like literally blew us away. Like there were so many things in there that she shared that like
gave me answers to things that I've always wondered, like in the spiritual world. Like when she, the one thing that I really remember she said was that when somebody, like, you know, does harm to you, it's because they're obviously they're acting from fear, not from love. But it's what's your responsibility is to not make that, like, sort of taint your worldview or close up your heart or start to, like, withdraw and not live in that place of love. And it's your responsibility to, like, stay in that place of love and stay open, and then the universe, you know, sort of takes care of that person for you, and you don't need to do anything. I thought, like, that's something I've always wondered, because I've been like, oh well, you know, the law of attraction, all this stuff, like you're meant to, like, give out good energy, but what if someone does something really horrible to you? Then what are you supposed to do? And, like, so just learning a little bit more about A Course in Miracles and Marianne's work has really deepened my relationship with spirituality and answered a lot of questions that I've always wondered that I wasn't getting answers from other people. But I know that, like, A Course in Miracles is a really big part of your life. I've heard you mention it a lot in the episodes. And a lot of people I admire in the spiritual space, like Gabby Bernstein and like Melissa Wood Health in America with what she does, like, they're very, very influenced by A Course in Miracles. So I'm really curious about it. We're only just recently, you know, been
newbies.
Yeah, we're newbies to it, but I'd love to hear some more about A Course in Miracles and what is sort of how it's integrated its way into your life and like your meditation practice with it and what it sort of means to you.
Yeah, it's a beautiful text. It's a cumbersome book. Have you seen it before? It's like,
yeah,
very big. And look, I didn't get all the way through it, and I would say most people don't, because of it is really thick. But there was a group of us that would actually come over to my house, and we would study it together for quite a long period of time. And it's a channeled text, and they say it's channeled by Jesus, but if, like, as in the channel that came through to, I think it was a woman and a man, don't quote me on this, was some form of Jesus anyway. And it just has these beautiful, within all of it, it's written in Old English, so it can be quite hard to kind of understand. But when you do get to the meaty parts of it, there are just these beautiful bits in it. And, you know, a lot of the Wayne Dyers and obviously the Marianne Williamsons and the Gabby Bernsteins and people like that, they do take a lot of their information from A Course in Miracles, because I feel that it's almost like the basis of love and the basis of why we're here and our existence, and obviously working with higher beings and all that kind of stuff. But it is a beautiful text, and there is this prayer, and we spoke about it, Marianne and I, in the interview I did with her, and it's, you know, where will you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say, and to whom? And that's something that I say after my meditations every day. There are just these beautiful sayings within everything in A Course in Miracles, which you can just relate to your life in general. There's one that says, you know, a miracle is a change in perception. So when we think of miracles, we think of Jesus walking over water and things like that. But if you think about what that actually is, it's like literally just a change in your perception. So when something upsets you or angers you, that change in perception back to love is a miracle. And I mean, even that the understanding of that is quite extraordinary. So it's filled with all those little bits and pieces within it. But something to what you were saying before about what Marianne said about if someone is unkind to you and then not to close your heart, what I learned a lot about that was from a guy called Gary Zukav, and he talked about the law of cause and effect. And the law of cause and effect has had a big place in my heart, and it's something that when I found out about it, I found it so unbelievably fascinating. And it's basically the law of karma. So it's different to the law of attraction. And what it is how it was explained to me, is it's like a return to sender. So if you were writing a letter and you put your address on it and then mailed it, that very letter will come back to you. So that goes with everything you say. It goes with a lot of your thoughts as well. And it goes with everything in life. So, for example, and this is obviously a very Hollywood example, but if you were going to get married and your partner let you, you know, left you on the altar, basically, stranded by yourself, then that would then happen to them. There would be some sort of betrayal that would happen to them in their life. And it might not be the exact same thing that they marry someone else and then they're stood up, but it could be in their financial situation that they've got a business partner that betrays them, or it could be someone in platoon combat that betrays whatever they were supposed to do. So in one way or another, that karma will come back and hit that person. It could be, as I said, in a different way, but the law of cause and effect is not personal, but it will always come back to someone. And I think once you understand that, and that's from a good perspective as well, like you do something good and then that comes back to you too. There's that reflection. So I think once you understand that law, it changes everything that you do in life. I mean, if you know, if you're mean to someone, that's going to happen to you sometime as well, then why would you do that? So you just wouldn't, because you know that it's going to be reflected back when you least expect it. So that's really had a great impact on me. And I really love teaching people about that as well, because I feel that when people know that, not only should they just not generally do that, but when they know that what they do is going to then come back to them, it'll make them stop doing it and it will make them move more from a place of love and joy.
Yeah, that's quite profound, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's definitely a teaching that really sticks with you and really helps, I think, with self-awareness, like going into something like, do I want to approach it in this way? Because thinking this will come back to me in some way. And with your spirituality, I would love to know, like, did you kind of like grow up in like a spiritual household, or did you go through like spiritual awakenings? I know some people don't really like the concept of like a spiritual awakening. What was like your transition into that? Because I always find stuff like that really interesting.
Yeah. So no, I didn't grow up in a spiritual household at all. And even to this day, I think to myself, do my parents think I'm a bit cuckoo? But no, they don't. They've never really said anything to me about it. But I was always interested, and I don't even know where this came from. So I feel like it's an innate, like people innately have it or they don't. This wondering about what happens when we die, and the afterlife and spirits and things like that. And when I was young, spirits scared the hell out of me. I don't know what I watched on TV, but I remember thinking like that was really scary. And then when I got older, I really wanted to just start studying spirituality, and nothing prompted it. It was just, again, it was this inner feeling I had, an inner knowing of wanting to discover more. And at that time, I didn't have anyone in my friend, like, you know, it's cool now to do this stuff. When I was younger, no one really knew about it. It wasn't not cool. It just, like, it wasn't really done. And it was only, things like this were only spoken about in religious circles. And I wasn't a religious person. So that's not where I wanted to sort of go. So anyway, there's this big Kabbalah teacher in Melbourne, Australia, where I live. And I'd heard about him, and I knew that being Jewish, that the Kabbalah was the Jewish mysticism. It was the mysticism side of the Jewish religion. So I got in contact with him, and I used to go to his house, and we would sit at his kitchen table, and we literally would study these Kabbalistic texts. And we would just, and I think I was maybe about 19, 18 or 19, and we would just discuss bits and pieces, and I found that really fulfilling. And he then opened up a center after that, and people used to come there. And I remember after we learnt maybe together for a year or so, I then ended up going to this place that he opened, and I was like the youngest person there by about 20 years or something. And we would sit there again and study bits of the text. And, you know, after time I kind of stopped going, and then I just forgot about it for a while. And then I think it just lay dormant until I was always interested, but I didn't do anything about it. And then when I had that crisis, that dark night of the soul, when I was doing breakfast radio, that's when I started to really kind of leap into it. And then that it took off after that. And funnily enough, a boyfriend of mine at the time, when I was probably late early 20s, he had a family friend that was a psychic, and we went to stay with her in the country one weekend or something like that. And I remember she was like reading our numbers or something, and she said to me, in your 30s, you're going to become deeply spiritual. I actually completely forgot about that. And he reminded me of it a couple of years ago. And I was like, whoa, she was spot on with that. So, yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah. I love little, you know, the experiences like that with people that can like really see into your future and share those things with you. But on your, I listened to one of your episodes the other day, and it wasn't a really recent episode. It was with Caroline. I can't remember her surname now, but she wrote
my
yeah, who wrote the book about soul contracts, and she shared the story about the woman that told in the taxi that was sharing this story with her about when she was in a car accident. And yeah, it was this such profound story. I was literally blown away when I was listening to it. But just obviously for the people listening to us now, she was in a car accident, and she could I feel like you'll be able to tell it better than me. But
I'd heard her tell this story, and it was so profound that I was like, please, like I got her to tell the story on the podcast. So basically, she tells this story of having this terrible day, and that she was doing a course somewhere in Europe, and there were supposed to be thousands of people, and I think there ended up being like 10 or something, and she's thinking this day can't get any worse. Carolyn's very funny. And then she was over it and tired, and she had to go back. She wanted to go back to her hotel room, and all she wanted to do was watch TV and be in silence. And she gets into the taxi, and this lady says to her, she knew who Caroline was, she said, oh, Caroline, can I tell you about my near-death experience? And Caroline's thinking, oh, God, I just want silence. But she's like, the lady was nice. So I said, okay, I'll listen to one more story. And the lady says, I was in a car accident, and I remember I left my body, and I could hear people in the cars that had collided with my car who, you know, didn't quite know what was happening. They didn't know that this woman, you know, was basically dying. They were complaining and saying, oh, God, I'm going to be late for work, and I can't believe that, that this car accident had to happen. And they were whinging. And she said, but in the sixth car, I saw this light just shining from the car and going straight into my heart. And I, as soon as I noticed that, she said, I was like whooshed to that sixth car. And I was sitting there having this out-of-body experience and seeing that the lady in the sixth car was praying. She was sending prayers to me to hope that I was okay. And the lady said that then she was back in her car, and she looked down, and she was, you know, very injured. And her guardian angel said to her, you know, it's not your time. You need to go back into your body. It will take a while to recover, and it might be painful, but you will be okay. And so she basically was banged into her body, and it took 6 months for her to recover. And at the time, she had memorized the number plates of the lady that was praying for her. And when she was better and out of hospital, she looked up who that lady was, and she went to her house with flowers and said, these flowers are for you. I'm the lady that you prayed for. And so basically, the crux of the story is that all our prayers are heard and all our prayers are answered. And it's incredible, because after listening to her, it completely changed the way that I thought about prayer. And Carolyn says, you know, no answer's an answer as well. So if you're asking for something and it's not answered, that's an answer. But it's you know, knowing that and hearing that story makes you realize that praying and having the divine watching over us or listening to us and helping us on this journey is absolutely real.
Yeah, thank you for sharing the story and explaining it way better than I could have. because I really wanted you to retell that story, because when I heard it on your podcast, I was like, wow, like it was like a story that I won't forget now, because it does really show you like the true power of prayer. And like that quote that Marianne Williamson says in Return to Love, that she's like really well known for, that our greatest fear is not that we're inadequate, it's that we're like powerful beyond measure. And I think that story really shows as well like the true power of like our intentions and like our energy and our hearts and like and our words and what they do in the world. So thank you for sharing that. But you've had, it's like, obviously that's such an amazing story to hear from someone on your podcast. And I was listening as well to your episode the other day that just recently came out with Wayne Dyer's daughter, and he was like there in the episode. He was interrupting your interview and doing all those things. It was really clear that he was here, and that was like as a listener on the receiving end of that, I felt like I was having a spiritual experience even just listening to it. Like it's crazy. But obviously you've had like quite a lot of guests come on who've shared things like that, and obviously you've had like these sort of spiritual experiences even when you've been recording with guests, but what in your own life that maybe you've not mentioned on your own podcast before or anything, have you had any experiences like that where it's really just shown you like, wow, like the higher power and like the divine, it is so real, like especially as you've like really deepened your relationship with that higher power ever since that sort of dark night of the soul that you're describing? Yeah, have you had any like really spiritual mystical experiences in your own life?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the deeper I've gotten into the work, there are things that happen the whole time, but one that really stands out was quite a few years ago. It was at a retreat that I went to, and you do this pineal gland meditation, and the whole idea of this meditation is to actually try and have a mystical experience. And I think the meditation starts at like 4 a.m. in the morning, and it goes, I know this sounds quite crazy, but it goes for 4 hours. Anyway, within that experience, I, out of nowhere, had my deceased grandpa come to me, and he said, he just showed me this. We used to, when he was alive, he was a builder, and he built this flying fox, and me and my brother and my cousins would spend all the years of our lives going, you know, when we're at my grandparents' house, going on this flying fox and just having such a great time. And he showed that to me, and he said, you know, this brought me so much joy. And I remember just being like, oh my God, this is unbelievably incredible. And then the next time we did the meditation, I remember seeing my grandmother, who had passed away, the same thing. And she came with a message to me that was really personal and was, you know, absolutely beautiful. And I know you could think like, well, was it my imagination or is this real? But when something like that occurs, it is so real that you know it's not your imagination. I can't explain it, because you're not thinking about it. It's not something that you're like trying to come up with. And it's just so real and so moving that there is not one part of you that thinks that you made it up. So those probably were some really beautiful moments that have happened to me. But also in my day-to-day life, there are so many synchronicities. Like when I'm on track and I feel that I'm in alignment with the universe and my higher being and the path that I'm walking, you know, it'll be like I'm thinking of someone and then they call or I get an email from them. But it'll happen the whole time. Like I'll have a day where it's just all of those things are sprinkled, and you just know that the universe is helping you out and guiding you in a way. Or there'll be an opportunity that arises and you'll be like, whoa, I was just thinking I wanted something like that. And it's just things like that where when you know about this work, you start to take notice of all these little things that happen in your life and the alignment that starts happening within all of it. And that's when you know again that the divine is always with you and that you know that you're going to be on the right track if you put in the work as well. So yeah, there's some of the mystical things that have happened in my life since I've gotten deeper into this kind of work.
Yeah, I love those. I feel like you actually explained that really well, of like just knowing that it's real, because I've had that like a few visions, you know, like a meditation. I remember saying to you once, I was like, the reason you know it's real is because you're not thinking about it. It's like it just comes and it flashes and it's there and you're like, okay, this is like a real visualization in front of me. So I really love that. And just going back to like the spirituality, I kind of wanted to ask you this, maybe more from even just like for like my own benefit, because I've been curious on this lately. So you were saying that like you didn't grow up in like a religious household or anything like that. When you kind of like transitioned into like a deep layer of spirituality and you started praying and you started always kind of having trust in the divine, did you have like any resistance to this idea of praying or God or certain words? Because I know like a lot of our listeners can probably relate to that. They might be listening to this and thinking, oh, the idea of praying is a bit far out for me, I'm not religious. I was just wondering if you had any experience with that. You might not have experienced that at all, but I was just curious if you did kind of go through a stage of any resistance.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a level of resistance to an extent in anything that you do, where you think at times like, is this actually working for me? Or, you know, it doesn't even matter how far into it. If you've had a spate of having a few bad things happen and you think, hello, is anyone around? Like, help me. Why is this going on? But it's having that inner knowing and inner trust. And with the praying thing, I mean, I think you don't have to do that. There's a prayer of St. Francis that I say every morning, because I just think it's a beautiful prayer and it resonates with me and I feel like it's a beautiful way to start the day. So that's something that I just put in my own life. And then meditation's changed my life. So it's obviously something that I do and I love. And then when I do the lying down part of my meditation, I say that prayer that I mentioned from A Course in Miracles. And other than that, No, I mean, resistance comes, I suppose, when you lose faith, and I try not to lose faith a lot, and I try to always wonder what the bigger picture is, and knowing what I do about spirituality and mysticism and the mind-body connection and the law of attraction and the law of cause and effect, like I use that knowledge to further my path. So I think resistance sometimes comes at the start of your experience. And something that I want to point out, because a lot of people come and ask me about this and a lot of my friends recently as well, I feel that when you start on a spiritual experience that things fall apart from your life. It's quite common because you're moving to a higher vibration, and so the things that aren't matching that move away. That can be friends, that can be relationships, that can be a job, family, all that kind of stuff. And that can be very frightening for a lot of people, because you see this turmoil start to happen and you think to yourself, I've put in all the inner work, why is this going on? But the reason it's going on is because it's not suiting where you're going. So really, if you can be aware of that and keep moving on your path, because a lot of times people will do the inner work, they'll start changing. But then when they realize that the things in their old life are not suiting them, they don't want to let go of them. And so when they're not letting go of them, they're becoming back to their old self so they can still be with their old friends and the job that they didn't like and the people that are causing them chaos, because it's the known. But when we move into the unknown and we expand and we move into that new vibration, for our life to change, things around us need to start changing. So I think that's a really important thing to point out, because a lot of people see their friendships, which is very important to, I mean, relationships is a huge foundation for everyone. And when they see that change, it can be very discouraging for a lot of people. But when you have that, again, that inner knowing and that faith, that it's changing because those people don't suit where you are anymore, and that you'll be then open to a whole lot of people that will suit you. You may not have seen them yet, but I can promise you they will come. Then it gives you that comfort that you're moving in the right direction. You know, for example, and I've said this example a lot because it's been happening to me over the last year. So I mentioned that I produce the biggest podcast in Australia, which is a comedy podcast with these two guys. And late last year, I thought to myself, my slate is full and I really can't do much more to build my greatness brand and my podcast, because I'm producing other people's podcasts too. Like I've done it now, like I need to move forward with my own stuff. But working for those boys has been one of the best experiences of my life. And, you know, coming from that breakfast radio show that I really disliked, then working for them where it's like work having a second family. So I resigned from that job at the start of the year and it kind of got dragged out. And so basically my last show with them was last week. And still I was like full of dread when I went to bed that night after the last show. Like, did I make the right decision? I'm leaving the biggest celebrities in Australia and the biggest show in Australia to go do my own thing. What if it doesn't work out for me and I've left this amazing job as their executive producer, which is like anyone's dream job. But I know that this is my path. And even though I can't see what is there yet, like it's not like I go, okay, I'm moving and now I'm going to this, this and this. Like I don't have all of that at the moment. But I've put in the hard work and I have the faith that it's all going to work out for me. And again, it's doing that big step into the unknown. And sometimes when we step into the unknown, it can seem like it's a place that's a bit scary or, you know, we don't know. But being in that place is where everything is possible. But when we're in the known, we know what's there already, and it's like those worn out memories of the past, but the unknown is that field of all possibilities. And I think that, you know, having resistance at the start, you need to move through that and know that if you're putting in the inner work and putting in just the work in general, because you have to do, like, I think people think sometimes with spiritual work that you just meditate and think good thoughts and things will come to you. And that doesn't happen. I mean, it might happen a little bit, but it really, if you want to put in the hard, if you want to see the fruits of your labor, you've got to put in the hard work as well. Like, you can't just want to do a podcast and do nothing about it and just meditate and try and manifest it. Like, you actually have to be in the 3D world and like action that as well. You can't just be in the 5D the whole time. So, you know, we're in the 3D world. We have to make stuff happen too. So when you're doing that kind of stuff, the universe is seeing like, okay, she wants more of this. She's putting in the hard work. She's now left Hamish and Andy, this big show I produced. She wants to do more of the other stuff. So now we'll think, okay, we'll give her more of the other stuff. So I feel that the universe, the divine, whatever you want to call it, it's always watching you and it's guiding you on the right path if you're showing where you want to go.
Yeah, that's amazing. I feel like that advice as well was literally exactly what we needed to hear. Yeah, where maybe the universe was getting you to say that to give us the message, because it really resonates with us and where we're at right now in our own journey of growing this podcast. And because we just started it, I just got a little ping, like literally it was a ping from the universe, and I'd never thought about really doing a podcast before, and I just was like, it was so random, wasn't it, how it happened. And that, like, this is completely different to what our careers were prior, like completely different. But we love it so much, but we have no idea what the future has in front of us. We have no idea how to just make it, you know, like really financially sustainable and everything. Like, we've got no idea what's in front of us, but what we know is that we absolutely love doing it, and by doing it, it helps other people as well that get to listen to it. So it's so true. You do just have to step out into the unknown and keep your faith and just wait for the universe to keep taking your action and wait for the universe to step in and show you the next step, because you just don't always know what it is. So thanks for sharing that. For that, you know, that's really great advice that we even needed to hear right now. But you've obviously on your podcast, you've spoken to some of the people like at the top of the wellness world, the spiritual world, like the main gurus, all the leaders, like you know Jody Spencer, Gabby Bernstein. Like you've spoken to everyone that's like, you know, the people that they read all their books, like, so you will have had them. Well, I know you've had the most incredible conversations, so I've listened to them, but I know what it's like as being having a podcast, what it's like being on the receiving end of the interview. Like it's different when you're listening to it, but then when you're the person having the conversation, like you're really absorbing all that information on like another level. So what are like some of the key things that really stand out for you, and like across your time of doing A Life of Greatness and all the people you've interviewed, that has been like the most game-changing bits of information you've got, or, you know, the best teachings, or who, you know, your favorite interviews? What are your like most profound moments of out of all the incredible guests that you've interviewed?
Well, I think one thing to know is that literally probably all the people that I've interviewed have had deep moments of suffering. They all have. It's, and to think that people look upon them as being, you know, doing all these amazing things, which they've done, but they've all come from these dark nights of the souls. They've all been there. So don't think that if you're there that you can't get out of it, because it seems to be the catapult for everyone to have changed their life. So almost it's a good thing if that's happened to you, because it seems to have happened to everyone. But as we spoke about, I think Caroline May saying that all your prayers are heard and answered, that was massive for me. I was like, whoa, that was an absolute, like, I remember thinking that was true, but then hearing that from her, it really, really resonated with me unbelievably. I think also recently listening to Serena Dyer and her talking about all these bad things that happened in her life, and she's had a lot of hardships, and she tells this story. It was a Rumi poem about these rungs on the ladder, and the rungs on the ladder are just things that we basically ask for before we incarnated into this life. And those rungs, even if they're hard, they're rungs towards God. And I think it's also that understanding of always having faith and knowing that even if you come into challenging times, those challenging times are sometimes where we can become the most enlightened and learn the most from them. And if you look at all challenging situations like that, think about those learnings as being a rung that's leading you even higher towards God. I think that was absolutely beautiful. I think speaking with people like Olivia Newton-John and hearing her talk about the mind-body connection, and obviously she has cancer and has been through so much in her life, and, you know, the way that she doesn't look upon having her cancer as being an illness, just something that's happening to her, and that the way that she looks at the mind-body connection and fueling her body with good food, and the way that she looks, the way she looks at her thoughts and how that affects her wellness as well, was incredible. I mean, there's been so many people that have taught me amazing things. I mean, you know, leaping into the unknown, I think every single person has probably spoken about that, but that's been a big one. I mean, Bruce Lipton, him speaking about our environment and our genes and how our environment turns on our genes, I think that's incredible and extraordinary once you really understand the concept of epigenetics and knowing that a lot of illness is turned on by our environment. And even if you have a gene that's so-called cancerous or, you know, not to your favor, knowing that if you have a healthy environment, that being in your mind and body, that you can live an absolutely healthy life as well. So I think all those kind of things have been really extraordinary for me. But there is not one interview that I do that there isn't a piece of information that I don't learn. And I think, well, that's really life-changing. I mean, even recently, the interview that's out this week with Daniel Goleman, who is an EQ specialist. So basically he talks about how even though you might have a high IQ, if that's all you have and you're not emotionally intelligent, you're not going to get that far in your life. But knowing that if you're emotionally intelligent and maybe your IQ isn't that high, then you can still move far in your life. I think that has been a game changer as well. It's a really beautiful piece of information to know, and knowing that you can also develop your emotional intelligence is also just was great to learn about too. So yeah, I think they would probably be some key info that I'm remembering right now, but there's, you know, if I was to think back to every interview, there would be something amazing that comes out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can only imagine, because you've literally spoken to the most incredible people. But just one final bit of advice for everybody. What is like your best piece of advice for people to live a life of greatness? So that says your podcast name.
I think the best bit of advice to live a life of greatness is basically to live a life that has some sort of purpose, that you feel that you're living your dharma or doing something that brings you joy. And a lot of the times when you think about what that is, it would be in some way about giving back with service and doing a job that's fulfilling and has some sort of service element to it. And knowing that no day of our life ever comes again. And once you really understand that concept and making the most out of every day and being so unbelievably present with everyone that you meet, leading your life with one that's through love without, rather than fear as well, and making it full of fun and joy. I think a lot of the time people take life very seriously, and which, I mean, how can you not when there's bills to pay and jobs to be done and kids to look after and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, we're here to have fun. And I have learned that from a lot of teachers that I've spoken to, but also in my own life. I think if we can really have as much fun as we can, that's when we live the greatest life of greatness.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I love that.
Everything you shared today has just really, really touched my heart. And I feel like it's really just going to like change our lives, like so many amazing bits of advice. So thank you so, so much for joining us.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And where can everybody find you? Like, I know your podcast is called A Life of Greatness. I'm going to link it in the show notes. I know that if anyone hasn't heard of it already from our audience, they're going to absolutely love it because it's very what they're into. Yeah. But where can people find you on social media and stuff like that if they want to come follow you?
You can find me on Instagram at Sarah Grimberg, on Facebook at Sarah Grimberg. I also have a private Facebook group called Live Your Life Greatly, which we give people share advice and tips on wellness and all that kind of stuff, or my website, sarahgrimberg.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sarah. We'll link all that in the show notes so everyone can come and follow you and listen to the podcast. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I really, really enjoyed that chat with Sarah. I really feel like she just helps you believe that like anything is possible. If you just tune into your inner knowing, like anything is possible and you're always on the right path. Like, I just love that message so much. Mm. It's so calming and so nice to listen to.
Yeah. Like, how crazy is that story about the prayer in the car?
Yeah.
That really helps you realize the power of your thoughts and your intentions. Mm. Life changing. So yeah, we hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to learn more about Sarah, if you want to listen to her podcast, The Life of Greatness, we've linked it in the show notes. We've linked her Instagram as well, so you can go follow her. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. Share it with someone who, you know, might want to hear it, might benefit from it. Come and share it on your Instagram story. Let us know what you thought about it. We love to hear you guys' feedback and connect with you on Instagram. So our username is at Finding Your Feet Podcast. Do come and connect with us on there and share the love. We love hearing from you. Also, if you loved it, you can now actually leave reviews. Well, you can leave like star reviews on Spotify, which is cool. So we've got good reviews on Apple, but now we want to get some good star ratings on Spotify. So for all our Spotify listeners right now, go and give us a little give us a little 5 stars, you know you enjoyed it. Go on. But yeah, thank you so much for listening, everyone. And just a quick reminder, we've got our workshop, the Invest in Your Dreams 2022 workshop, on the 16th of January, 6 or 8 p.m. It's going to be 2 hours live workshop of setting goals, giving you all the tools to stay accountable to your goals for the year, stay motivated, manifesting tricks, everything you need. It's going to be a night of you time, of setting up your year for how you want it to be.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're ever feeling lonely on your own self-development journey, or you're like, I don't know what direction to take it in, surround yourself with people that are inspiring, that want to get there. Like, come to the workshop, talk to the people, make friends. Like, we're all in this together and we're all going to rise together.
Yeah, I love the connection that happens on the live workshops. So yeah, if you want to join us, the tickets are on our website, findyourfeetpodcast.com. We've left the link in the show notes so you can go on there and secure your spot. But we're very excited. We'd love to see you there. But thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.